Isn't it weird when Kaz Harai speaks Japanese?
Yeah, because his American accent's pretty good.
Well, it's just that his American, he kind of sounds like this wimpy nerd, like, hey guys, Ridge Racer. He's like, in Japanese, he's like, oh, let's check it off.
Well, yeah, it's the same it's thing like, with the chairman from Iron Chef, because remember, like, you know, he's always like, his memory serves me, he's like, oh, but then, like, he came to New York, and he's like, if memory serves me right, and you're like, what? Well, the accent, I'll forgive you, but why did your voice go up 4 octaves?
What is it about our language that makes people, like, more lame? Podcast for January 28th, 2011. That's still weird, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
Does it bug you that I say 2011?
Yes.
It bugged you when I said 2010?
Yes.
So I guess this whole decade is going to be like that for you.
Decade? The whole century?
Yeah, 2059.
So help me God.
As long as I live. Barring some miracle of modern science. Or future science, I guess. Anyways, welcome to the show, everybody. This is Mike Minotti, and I'm joined by my brother, Edge Guy.
Hello.
Got a very PSP2E show for you today, don't we?
Well, maybe. I don't know what it's called.
Whatever, yeah, the NGP. NGP, that was the Neo Geo Pocket, though. You haven't had that pointed out to you yet? All right, bring it back in.
I'm sorry. That didn't even remotely occur to me for some reason, and that's like the funniest damn thing I've heard all week.
The fact that it shares a name with the Neo Geo Pocket of all things.
Man, why do we keep talking about the Neo Geo Pocket?
That was a great system.
I know.
All right.
All right, keep going.
So we're going to start with the news, which, yeah, is going to be a lot about the NGP, whatever. Then we'll go into... Let's go topical, which, again, there'll be a lot of NGP and other things. You know, if the NGP ain't your thing, man, we got stuff for you, too. We're catering to all tastes. It's all good.
Indeed.
After that, we've got our week in gaming. I got some fun stuff to talk about, I think. Including a DS game I've been playing that is fantastic. I can't wait to tell you all about.
All right.
After that, we'll do the releases, and that'll be the show. So let's get going.
All right. So, as was foretold in Times of Legend... the PSP2/next generation portable has been revealed. Sony had their big event the other night, morning in Japan, night, it was a weird time.
It was like 1 a.m. here.
Yeah, I just woke up, I was like, I'll just read Kotaku tomorrow morning.
No, I was staying up, I'm like, up the...
I have nothing better to do.
I gotta wake up early tomorrow, I'm dumb.
Alright, so anyway, it's a thing. Let's go through some of the basics of what it is. The most obvious stuff is dual analog sticks, and they do look like actual analog sticks and not a weird convex nub that your finger automatically slides off of, so that's good.
It's not just me, that's my favorite thing, right?
Yeah.
I love that.
The front screen is an OLED screen, which will look very nice and has a wicked high resolution that I had written down somewhere, but I lost it. It's high res. It's a touch screen. Mm-hmm. Along with the foretold touch panel on the back.
I still don't quite get that, although I saw the one video where, like, you're touching the back to, like, the back of the PSP to make, like, the terrain kind of bump. Wherever you're touching from behind it, it looked really neat. Did you see that? You're, like, moving a ball around.
Yeah. So that's, like, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
It's something different, I guess.
Right. It's, like, the only different thing this thing does. I mean, I don't know. It's pretty predictable. It's a 4-core CPU with a 4-core GPU, so that's why they're saying like PS3 quality visuals.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We got a camera in the front and the back, as is de rigueur these days. It has all kinds of motion sensors: 6-axis motion sensing, which means 3-axis gyroscope and 3-axis accelerometer. It's basically the Move, along with a 3-axis electric compass. It also has GPS. Built in, along with Wi-Fi.
See, a lot of this GPS stuff they're talking about, that sounds much more applicable to the sort of Japanese Tokyo culture than for us.
Right.
Like, walk around and see where everybody is. I'm like, I don't want people to see that.
Yeah, well, the last thing is the 3G that is built into it.
Yeah.
And they've done a very poor job of explaining what the 3G is for. Well, they've done a poor job explaining a lot of this stuff, but I mean, are we going to talk about that more? Should I hold off on that rant?
No, go ahead.
It's just a lot of this announcement to me, it feels like they should have had more answers, like, I don't know, the name of the system. And they don't.
It's just a coming out party.
It comes out in less than a year. You don't know what it's called yet? You have to start making these pretty soon.
I think that's a weird thing. I don't know what it is. I think they're having a last-minute identity crisis with the PSP brand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it obviously is the PSP 2. It looks exactly like the PSP. It's right. Obviously the next iteration of that. I think there's just some people in the company like, well, the PSP didn't do that good in America. Maybe right. We should go away from that brand name. They're like, and then I bet there's kind of a war going on between Sony of America and Sony of Japan over what
it's
called.
Oh, and Europe's in there too. I mean, you're already there's conflicting information coming out of all three sections. Like, they don't even know what's going on. Like, the Sony Entertainment Europe guy was saying how the 3G is, like, optional. Like, there will be one with 3G, one without, kind of like the iPad now. And then Jack Trenton was saying that's not necessarily the case, and we don't know yet, and it's all very
well. That's kind of par of the course for Sony. They're different. They just never know what's going on.
I know, but like I just try to figure out, like, they didn't really say what the 3G's for. Like, I mean, there's going to be a monthly fee for it. They're working on partners now.
I mean, I'm assuming it's for online gaming.
But the thing is, see, 3G for gaming, it's not so much the speed that's the issue; it's latency. Like, mobile networks always have a lot of lag, and I don't think you can use 3G for gaming. Nor would I really.
Well,
a desire to. Like, if that's all it is, so I could play online, I don't really need that.
I mean, I'm assuming it'll have a web browser in it and stuff like that. You can go to the PlayStation Network store whenever and buy games.
Yes, I guess.
Things like that. Like, that something with that whole, was that cross-platform PlayStation Network
thing?
Hey,
you're jumping the gun, man.
All right, whatever. Let's talk about the games first.
I was going to say, talking about games, as you might expect, all the popular Sony franchises are on board. First and foremost, Uncharted.
I'm so smart, because right before Uncharted was announced, as soon as I saw the two analogs, I saw on Twitter, Uncharted, and I was right. And I can prove it, because I have a Twitter that says
all right.
It.
Good.
A tweet. Also, yay, Uncharted.
They're going to be doing Killzone, Wipeout, Resistance, Little Big Planet, Hot Shots Golf, all that good
Duty,
stuff.
Duty, too.
Yeah. We
can actually have first-person shooters without, like...
That work on a handheld?
Yeah, that's kind of exciting. Crappy touchscreen controls.
It's really the first time that's ever going to happen, so I'm kind of excited for that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could basically just port the next Call of Duty to this thing.
Yeah, and I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, they will.
Yeah.
They have a whole giant list of companies in Japan, North America, and Europe who are signed on. An auto mission from this list, actually, is EA.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know what EA... They'll
jump on
board.
I'm sure they'll make games for it. This isn't the next Dreamcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's a fairly predictable system, as we all figured it would be. It's basically like PSP with more stuff.
I like what it has, though. I mean, I'm just happy it has the two sticks.
Right.
I'm happy it has an Uncharted game.
Yes.
I'm kind of impressed, though, honestly. I kind of like it. I mean, it's easy to see it having a lot of the same problems as the original PlayStation PSP did.
Yeah.
Namely that, especially this time, now, like, you could just make a game for the PS3 and just port it to this thing.
Right.
With almost no difference. Mm-hmm. It's almost kind of weird.
I guess the last thing we should talk about, too, is UMD is gone for good.
Yeah.
They are distributing the games on custom-made flash memory cards, which...
Isn't that like DS?
Kind of, except like they're big enough that they'll hold all the game save data and all the DLC. So you don't even need internal storage for this thing. It'll come with... It'll have internal storage that you can do, like, you know, downloadable games and all that still. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like if you buy Uncharted for NGP or whatever it's called, and then like they release a multiplayer map pack, it just downloads it right to the game.
Well, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, like, this is kind of Let's Go topically, but it's actually not a Let's Go topic, but do you think, like, now that, like, we have this system that is basically as good as our consoles, is that going to push the next console generation forward faster?
If anything, I think it would make it stick around. I mean, we often credited the reason the PS2 lasted so long is because, like, the PSP and Wii games just went right to the PS2, so same thing here. You can make a game now for the PS3 and the NGP and be set. So, like, why would you want to now have to make a second version when a PS4 comes out?
And vice versa, you wonder if that's still going to be a problem for the PSP 2 or whatever it is. that the fact that it doesn't really play portable games. It plays console-like games.
Right. Again, this I talked about this with the 3DS news, too, but this does kind of fly in the face of the now current portable gaming trend that Apple kind of owns, where it's more of an idea of these bite-sized games. I mean, I don't want to
see them go to that, though.
No, but I mean, you know, was this not the promise of the PSP? Was a console experience in your hands, and people basically voted with their wallets saying they didn't want that? And that's exactly what this is.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at. That's sort of the distressing thing. Like, there's going to be... Maybe they'll push the PS Minis thing more.
I don't know, but like it's now going to be, Mike, the PlayStation Suite.
Yeah, tell me. Explain that to me.
Okay, so the PlayStation Suite, in a kind of strange move, they are bringing a PlayStation Store to Android. It needs Android 2.3, a.k.a. Gingerbread, and you'll be able to download PS1 games to your phone.
Can you also download these? Like, is it the same network that's going to be, like, to download it onto the NGP?
Well, yeah, the PlayStation Suite will also be on the NGP. So basically, this is just... I mean, you could already get PlayStation 1 games on a PSP. This is just going to be how they do it on the NGP now, in addition to the Android. So they're basically just expanding the potential market for this. And, of course, they didn't say anything about the PlayStation phone or the Xperia or whatever it is, which I thought was weird. But that makes a whole lot more sense now when it's basically just an Android 2.3 phone that has PlayStation controls on it.
Right.
It's going to be like, hey, this PlayStation thing, it's available on all the Android phones, but if you're really serious about it, you should get this phone with the PlayStation controls built into it.
Right. Basically, it's like a PS1 emulating machine.
Right. And see, here's the one thing now. This is always a problem for me with playing PS1 games on a PSP, and it's still going to be a problem on the NGP. You're still missing L2, R2, L3, and R3. And I wonder if they could map those to that touchpad on the back.
I'm sure they can.
I don't understand why they couldn't just make the analog six click.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're still missing some buttons, I guess. We're closer. We're getting there.
Yeah. Slowly but surely. Mm-hmm. The other nice thing, too, when you look at it, is how this time the analog nubs are inward a little bit, so that, like, it follows your thumb angle instead of being directly below
it.
Yeah,
I know.
Which is, I think, going to be a problem with the 3DS. Because when you look at that, if you go from the analog pad down to the D-pad... It's going to be uncomfortable to use that D-pad, I think.
I don't know. I didn't get to play enough of it to really go through that.
Just from looking at it, it looks like that D-pad's positioned the way the analog nub is positioned on the PSP.
I mean, if we got used to the Nintendo 64 control, we can get used to anything.
Touché.
You just get a feel for these things. I even got used to that stupid analog nub after a while playing Birth by Sleep for 30 hours. So, you know.
I bet.
Yeah, it happens.
Oh, look, it's my PSP on my... desk right here. I forgot it was there.
Poor little
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, it's awkward to hold still.
I'm surprised that it... Well, I guess I'm not surprised, but it does look pretty much just like the PSP in shape.
Pretty big, though. It's bigger than a PSP. You almost feel like that's too big for a portable.
You think some people were maybe expecting it to kind of, like, follow the design, at least, of the PSP Go? With that kind
of
whole thing?
I mean, just to get it smaller, at least, you know?
PSP Go. That's going to go down right with the virtual board, isn't it?
The PSP Go at least has one advantage over the PSP now, because the downloaded titles will be backwards compatible on the NGP, but UMDs obviously won't be, so...
Alright. So this thing won't really have a way of playing PSP 1 games, huh?
Just if you downloaded it.
Right. Interesting.
Yep.
Alright, anything else, Sony, worth we want to talk about right now?
I think I'm good for now.
Overall thoughts?
I'll get one. I mean, why not?
All right.
I mean, honestly, I do like that back touch panel. I do like that, like you said, this is probably the first opportunity we'll have to properly play first-person shooters on the go.
Or third-person shooters. Just shooters in general.
Yeah, shooters, which I feel like is something I'd like to do in
a handheld. It's a pretty popular genre, and it's always been weird that it never really can exist in portable
Especially,
form.
And I'll talk about this more later, but having played Bulletstorm, the demo for that, I see that working well as a portable game.
I need to play that stuff.
Because of the way, like, there's the one mode where it's basically, like, time trials through sections of levels.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going for a score. And it lasts, like, 6 minutes. That would be great on a handheld.
Right.
And Epic's already got UE3 running on this thing. They did the Epic Citadel demo on the NGP. So, like, that would be awesome.
Exciting.
Yep. Good all times.
Right. We'll talk hardware. About it. Talk about, is there still hardware to talk?
No, I'm just saying, hardware, like, we're getting all these hardware announcements in January.
Yeah, this is interesting. This is fun, though. We haven't had very many console announcements in the last few years.
Yeah.
It's always fun when one happens. we'll talk more about the NGP and let's go topical, though.
All right. Next, that whole World of StarCraft thing ended with a pretty happy ending, actually. Basically, as people kind of figured, it was just Blizzard's lawyers took umbrage with the fact that it was called World of StarCraft, which sounds like World of Warcraft. He's going to call it something like StarCraft Universe and all as well. Blizzard actually is offered to, all expense paid, fly him out to visit Blizzard's campus and meet the StarCraft team and everything. And he even got a job offer from the League of Legends developers, so good for that guy.
Very nice.
Yes.
What's League of Legends? Because they say it's an MMO. I thought that was just another one of the Dota things.
I thought it was a Dota.
Everyone keeps referring to it as an MMO, and they're like...
I think there's some persistence with your character or something.
Oh, okay. I was about to say.
I've never played it. I don't know.
I have no idea what it's like. All
right. Right. Next, Portal 2. It's getting user-created content onto all platforms. I mean, it makes sense for the Steam and PS3 stuff, but yeah, they're saying even 360.
They had to pay for it.
I guess. So that's good. They also said the game will have two endings for each campaign with its own Jonathan Coulton song, presumably. So that's good.
Presumably? Wait, are you just making stuff up about Jonathan Coulton songs?
Well, I know there's at least one. I think they...
Oh, really?
Did they add it right? Say it now. No, I need to reread the story real quick. I can't recall if they...
Can't just...
Yeah, they said they've got two credits.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I wonder just how extensive the co-op campaign's going to be.
What's that?
I wonder how extensive the co-op campaign's going to be.
It's as long as a single player. Should be good.
Pretty sweet. Pretty excited.
I know. What's cool, too, is, I mean, you know, you buy it for PS3 and then you put it on your PC. And
that's crazy that we're gonna get this on the PS3.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, I could go visit you, bring my PS3 copy, you'll have it on your PC, and we could co-op it up.
Oh, it's cross-platform, too?
Yeah, you didn't know that.
I didn't really... Man, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I'm so excited for
that
now.
That's pretty exciting now.
I know.
Well,
it's so weird. I want to buy, like, because I'm going to probably end up getting Dead Space 2 next week on PS3 because it has Extraction included.
Right. See, if I get that, I have to get on the 360 just because I have my save file on there.
Oh, you get, like, a gun.
Well, whatever. But the fact is, I can't buy that gun. I could buy Extraction if I want to.
Yeah, for $15. The gun is purely cosmetic.
I want my gun!
Oh, good lord. I could get the gun, too. I'm just passing on it. You don't need a beat in the game. You just need a save file.
I have a save file.
Well, so do I. I don't care.
I do.
Okay.
Next.
Sad news. Even though it sold 1.3 million copies, Epic Mickey Developers, Junction Point Studios, excuse me, they're getting hit with some big layoffs.
Is this, like... Because this happens a lot where... Just after a game comes out, a studio gets a lot of layoffs just because they're not, like, on the development side of a project right now, like, they're in pre-production. You think this is just that, maybe?
I've been trying to figure that out.
That's what I'm thinking. No one says that, but that seems slightly logical.
I mean, it is half
logical.
The studio.
Sure, but if you think about... I mean, I don't know much about making a game, but when you're... That first year or so is just, like, kind of pre-production. You probably don't need, like, all those programmers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't know how this thing. I have no idea how that works.
I almost wonder how much longer our industry can even sustain this idea of development studios, where it's like the same 60 to 300 people making a game over and over. I mean, because when you look at Hollywood, it's not like a studio hires like a property master and a set builder and the crew and everything, and they just like all stick together in this company. Like, they're all contract workers. I almost wonder if it might eventually move to that. Like, you'll have like a core creative team. And some key figures. But as far as, like, you know, the guy you hire to make, like, models of, like, chairs and furniture in your game, like, if they'll just hire contract people on a per-project basis.
Maybe. I don't see what's wrong with the studio structure.
I understand.
Especially when you have so many sequels. You want the
I'm
same
just pontificating.
People there. Yeah, I got you.
Let's see. We have some Skyrim combat details. You read this?
No, actually. I saw the headline. Tell me.
Yeah, it's going to be freaking sweet.
Freaking awesome.
Basically, one thing they did is they reduced how fast you can move backwards from Oblivion, so you're not really just like hitting guys and walking backwards all the time. Like, you actually have to kind of stand and fight.
Yeah.
You can't like just hold up your shield. You have to actually time your blocks. They're giving you flourishes and things like that to do with your attacks. One cool thing I really like is they're really changing the way range combat's going to work, where basically, like, you can take down an enemy with, like, one arrow, like, even, like, a, you know, a tough enemy, but, like, A, it's going to be a little harder to pull off, and B, arrows are going to be harder to find. So you've got to be really careful with your ranged combat. So it's a little more realistic in that regard.
But is that really limit, like, the possibility of just being a ranged class kind of guy. I guess there aren't any classes anyways, huh?
Right. So, I mean, you'd be like Legolas. You'd use your bow and arrow until they get close.
Fair enough.
I mean, you get some daggers out or something. They're also saying that the magic in Skyrim is actually inspired by Bioshock's plasmids.
Interesting.
Yeah, so the way, like, you know, you equip them to a hand, you could combine them. We kind of knew a little bit about that before.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like, they're even working, like, you don't just shoot projectiles. Like, you could hold down a spell button and, like, turn to a stream or something like that. So you, like, shoot a fireball or shoot, like, a plume of fire.
Gotcha.
And they're plume's really
a
trying
funny
to...
word.
Yeah, I know. They're really trying to push to, like, fights between mages, where it's about timing and skill than about just spamming a fireball spell.
You never really see that, do you?
Yeah, so that should be cool.
It's never really been pulled off well.
Yeah, so I'm still really, really, really excited for that game.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. Blizzard has brought... they talked about it at BlizzCon, but they released the three custom games for StarCraft II they were talking about. Iron Chef, Star Jeweled, and Left 2 Dead, or Left 2 Die, excuse me. Iron Chef is a mod where you're trying to scrounge up ingredients to make recipes, like, while playing StarCraft. Star Jeweled is, like, it's kind of like a mix of, like, Bejeweled and a little bit of Puzzle Quest, from what I can tell, where you're, like, playing Bejeweled to destroy your opponent's base.
Ah.
And then Left 2 Die takes that one outbreak mission from single player where, like, at night zombies came, but at day you had to, like, prepare
right.
your defenses. And it's, like, a cooperative version of that.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Yeah.
If you have Mass Effect 2 on the PS3, apparently there's a bug in the game that could delete your save files.
That's always fun.
Yeah, EA is aware of it. They plan to have a patch out soon.
Oh, that's nice.
In the meantime, they say a way to combat it is just stop playing every hour or so.
Oh.
And, like, reload the game.
Interesting solution.
Yes, yes. So, first of all, did you see this thing where some activist group out of England or something was, like, demanding retribution from Activision, saying that they only care about the 360 version of Call of Duty, and the PS3 and PC versions are little more than beta tests for the 360 or unplayable messes.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, well, first of all, Pactor called those people crybabies, which pissed them off even more. And it led on all this ballyhoo and whatever. So this week, a very large, substantial patch was released for the PS3 version of Black Ops to fix things. One thing that happened with that patch, you know how they don't let you use Xbox Live Party Chat in certain game modes because they think it's cheating?
Yeah.
Which is ironic. Yeah, that message comes up on the PS3 now.
That's nice.
So, like, you'll pick a, you know, like, Search and Destroy as your playlist, and it'll say in the bottom of the screen, Xbox Live Party Chat not available. You're like, okay, no kidding, I'm on a PS3.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, so that just added more fuel to that fire that they only care about the 360 version.
Well...
Mm-hmm.
In their defense, they probably sell a lot more of that than the other ones.
Indeed. Two very exciting game announcements coming to Facebook in the month of February. Oregon Trail and Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Seems like a good fit.
Yes, I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
We also get a new You Don't Know Jack next month. This is awesome. It's like the 90s are coming back.
Now, what is this new You Don't Know Jack exactly?
It's You Don't Know Jack.
But, like, is
know?
It a browser game or a Facebook
no,
game?
No, I mean, it's for Xbox, PS3, Wii, and DS.
Nice.
Yeah.
What, they get the, is it like a downloadable game, or so they get to go to the store and buy it?
No, like it's a retail box product.
Very nice.
I know.
Like,
I'm going to check. I don't know if it's full $60 or not.
I would be surprised.
Honestly, there's part of me that's like, maybe I should hold off on buying, oh, it's $30 pre-ordered Amazon? Hell yes!
I was about to say, I don't think it's a $60 game.
I mean, it's usually $40, but they're taking pre-orders for $30.
There you go.
F yeah.
There you go.
I love that game. Okay, cool. Moving on. The Old Republic. Delayed, I guess?
Delayed again? I thought it wasn't coming out for like another year.
Apparently, they said at some point that it was going to be out in spring 2011, but from my research into this, that quote that people are referencing was John Riccitiello of EA saying that they were planning to release a major MMO in spring 2011.
There's no
way
this game wasn't coming
was.
Out in this spring. No, it
I
wasn't.
Think I think when they said September, I was like, that's soon.
It, no.
Yeah, so
it's coming out next year. So
yeah, I don't even think it'll come out this winter like they're saying now.
No.
Whatever, right. I'm fine with that.
Whatever, it'll come out and be mediocre.
Ooh.
Have you been reading the negativity surrounding this game?
I've read the negativity.
I don't know.
We'll see. So Sony released new PS3 firmware explicitly to combat piracy and hackers. About 2 hours after it was released, it was hacked.
Well, there you go.
The never-ending story. Next, it has been confirmed, in Japan at least, that the 3DS eShop will not come out until May.
Huh.
So that console comes out in Japan in February. They won't have the eStore with all the DSiWare, 3DS downloads, the virtual console stuff until May. Like, really? That long?
Hmm. I did not know that. That is kind of weird.
They also said, Reggie told us not to expect Zelda or Kid Icarus until after E3.
Huh. Well, that's kind of a... So what's the big launch game? There's not really a big first-party launch
game. See, this is what I hate. This is one thing I hate about Reggie when people interview him. They tell him, like, hey, like, why are you guys doing this? This doesn't seem right. And he basically tells the interviewer they're wrong, but they're not. Because basically they said, like, you know, Kid Icarus, Zelda, like, those are kind of the big core gamer games everyone's looking forward to. And if those are not going to be coming out so long, like, why didn't you guys put any core games up for launch? He's like, oh, but we'll look at Pilot Wings and Ten Dogs and Cats. I mean, those are really popular, so we put those for core games. Like, no.
Yeah, listen, he doesn't quite get it.
Pilot Wings is nice and all. I'm looking forward to it. I enjoyed me some Pilot Wings, but
it's like when he called Animal Crossing a big core game.
Right, exactly. It's like you have a very wrong conception of what that means, I think.
Right. Oh well.
I just want Star Fox 64 for that thing.
Right.
No one talks about that.
That's coming.
I know. And speaking of, actually, now we do have an actual core game coming from Nintendo for the Wii, a new Kirby.
Wii.
And it looks like, you know, that's old school in Kirby.
That's right. It basically looks like the 2D Kirby at, like, you know, New Super Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong Country Returns. This is the Kirby for that.
Right.
Which is nice. It looks really cool. I love 2D Kirby.
I do, too. Those are great games.
Yes. I hope it has a co-op mode. I assume it will.
Yeah. That seems to be the trend that Kirby's taken the last few years.
Right. Plus, I don't think Nintendo would release a 2D side score without a co-op mode.
Yeah, it seems to be their thing now. Yeah. They own that.
Mm-hmm. All right, anything else?
That'll do it.
All right, then we'll see. Let's go topical.
Okay.
First topic, the NGP will be more successful than the PSP.
A lot of it's going to depend on price.
You think?
At least initially. This
price is going to be $300 at least.
See, here's the thing. I don't even see it competing with the 3DS as much as I do see it competing with iPhone and iPod Touch. Because especially when you consider there's the like one with 3G, one without. Like, let's just say the one without 3G is $300. The one with is $400. I mean, those are the prices of iPod Touches and iPhones. And okay. let's say like the iPhone 5 or whatever that comes out this summer, some mind-melting thing, like, that's their competition.
And I still don't buy that. It's still going to compete primarily with the other handheld gaming system.
I don't think it's going to beat the 3DS, if that's your question.
Well, that's sort of my next question. You can combine it is if it can compete with the 3DS.
No.
Okay, I mean, it can maybe compete.
It'll compete just as well as it did before. I mean, here's the thing. The PSP really isn't an abject failure. They sold 60 million of them. It's just that when you compare it to what the 3DS did, it doesn't look as good.
Right.
But on its own, it's not bad.
I mean, it certainly did better than other portable systems that tried to compete with the Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
So you basically just shot those down that basically you don't have high hopes for this thing is what I'm hearing.
Not compared to 3DS, well, for sure.
But just, do you think it's going to sell more than the other PSP did? Is it going to beat 60 million?
Sure. Actually, yeah. I'll tell you. You know what's actually going to be a big thing, at least in Japan? It's going to be which of these two systems gets Monster Hunter.
Well, I don't see why they wouldn't both get it now at this point.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, though. The reason why we've been getting these Monster Hunters on PSP and Wii and not on PS3, they see no reason why they have to remake all those art assets in high def and everything when they could put it on the PSP. Well, now, why remake that and put it all on the NGP when you could just put it on the 3DS?
Okay, at some point they got to. Like, you can't make a Monster Hunter 4. And like,
Mike, how many Kingdom Hearts games have they released?
Yeah, I know. At some point it's going to happen, presumably.
Look how long it took Atlus to make a HD game.
Yeah, true.
Japanese studios like to reuse their assets. It's more efficient.
I guess so.
If they can, they will.
Hmm, fair enough. So, okay, next one. You will buy an NGP on day one.
Probably. Why not? I've bought every other handheld on day one. Why break that streak? Except the PSP Go. I'm actually kind of proud of myself that I never gave in and got a PSP.
You almost wanted to.
I know, I did. Like, there were times I tried to convince myself I did, and I was like, no, that's a dumb idea, and I never did.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yes.
There you PSP go.
Very nice.
Well, okay, how about this? An NGP launch, including Uncharted, would beat a 3DS launch without Zelda or Kid Icarus.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Portable version of one of the best games ever made that will play very similarly? Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Versus port of a very good game, but still a port that's not coming out at launch. Hmm.
And I hope it's a launch game. I hope it makes it for launch. Usually when you like the first game you announce for your system, I assume that's a launch game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, hopefully.
I feel like none of these topics seem to have very long legs so far.
I'm sorry, yeah. I feel like I have very concise answers already prepared for these. Right, okay, I've thought about this a lot.
Next, Kirby would never work in 3D.
That's not true.
I
think it would work actually pretty well. We just imagine being able to point at something and suck it up.
They never tried, though.
Yeah, I know.
They never seem to have that ambition. Kirby never went 3D.
Yeah,
even on Nintendo, on Nintendo 64, when everything was going 3D, even Donkey Kong was 3D, that still had a 2D Kirby game.
Yeah.
GameCube just never even had a Kirby game.
Huh, that's curious. I wonder why that is. I feel like it would work just fine.
Yeah, it's weird that they just give it, like... it's actually kind of weird, because, like... on the Nintendo 64, we had a lot of games that just took the principles of the Mario 3D platforming and applied it to the other characters.
Yeah.
It seemed like that kind of worked. So if you just give Kirby, like, those kind of fluid controls, but, like, put in the stuff that made it unique to Kirby, I feel like it would at least kind of work, right?
But you almost have to feel like Nintendo's mode of thinking this may be, look at how many copies of New Super Mario Bros. Sold, and look how many copies of Mario Galaxy 2 sold.
Both were incredibly profitable, yeah. The ones New Super Mario Bros. Did better.
Yeah.
Well, that leads into this. You approve of Nintendo returning to their 2D roots?
Yeah, I think that's what they do well. The only problem is none of these games seem to take particular advantage of the Wii's motion control.
Yeah, it's kind of the interesting. Like, it's like we almost had like a really nice Super Nintendo right now. Isn't it?
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, the thing is, I said this before, but it's getting to this point now where. It's becoming a tough pill to swallow for a $50 platformer when I could get something very similar on the Xbox for $15. Like, they can still kind of get away with their big properties, at least, because they have both a production quality standpoint and a nostalgia standpoint a lot going for them.
But something like Lost in Shadow has no chance.
Right.
No, I know exactly what you mean. But, like, you know, these have definitely been quality products so far. New Super Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong, Kirby's Epic Yarn.
I mean, they all look good. I have New Super Mario Brothers, but like, I haven't gotten Donkey Kong or Kirby because it's again, it comes down to, you know, am I going to get Donkey Kong or am I going to get, at the time it was Assassin's Creed, or am I going to get Kirby or am I going to get Enslaved? Like,
no, I know what you mean, but I mean, the fact of the matter is that we can't handle something like Enslaved all that well, not really. So maybe is it almost kind of a sign of defeat in a way? Like, they kind of lacked, like, not to like get tough on these games and say they lack ambition, but they kind of do.
Yeah.
As much as I like it, they're
very safe.
Right. As much as I like Donkey Kong Country Returns, you know, nothing new's happening there. It's a great showcase of level design, and you know, it's fun and everything, but no risks were involved.
Right.
Leaves more questions about their next system.
Yeah, I wonder when that's gonna happen.
I just realized my little Mickey statue that came with Epic Mickey is missing an ear.
What?
It fell off. It was, like, loose when I got it, and I, like, kind of placed it back in. I think it fell out again.
Oh, man.
I have to glue it in. It'll be fine. Anywho, are we in gaming?
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Why don't you go first?
Okay. I play a bunch of stuff. Okay. I played the demo for Dead Space 2, which I realize I've had on my Xbox for some time and never played.
Right. Do you enjoy it?
I did.
Did you play Dead Space 1 very much?
I didn't beat it, but I played a good chunk of it.
Okay.
I want to say at least 5-6 hours. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty good. I mean, it's scary. I jumped a couple times. What else to say? I mean, it's very much just an evolution of Dead Space 1. There's nothing too radically new about it. It's just very polished. And so yeah,
that's kind of what I thought it would be, just like a really polished Dead Space 1.
Right.
Dead Space 1 didn't get enough love when it came out, to be honest. I thought that was really neat.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly underrated. Like, I really want Dead Space 2 right now. I have so much stuff to play through first.
I know. That's the thing. It's, like, hard to justify buying it when, like, I still haven't touched Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Well, actually, like, that's what I've been doing this week, is I'm playing through Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, mostly.
Yeah, I think I'll try to start that this week, too. I should have some time.
Which has been fun. It's very Assassin's Creed-y.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that bugs me, this is, like, the one thing. You know how, like, some of the buildings have, like, that, like, it's, like, the hidden marker, and you have to, like, find it, and then you do, like, the secret thing, you know. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
And like, Assassin's Creed 2, they were just in, like, a building or something, right? In this one, it's, like, there's a marker in the Colosseum. Like, what? And, like, it's always these giant buildings or landscapes, and it's, like, impossible to find. Like, going all over the Colosseum. I'm like, where is it? Like, my one slight annoyance. Otherwise, though, very Assassin's Creed-y. Very good.
Cool.
Yeah, we'll trade off like this. It's fun, isn't it?
Yeah. Let's see. Next, I did the multiplayer demo for Crysis 2. Which, aside from the fact that it caused my Xbox to lock up and sort of red ring, which apparently is a known problem, which makes me feel better that it's not my Xbox itself, but this game. Yeah, so now that I know my Xbox is okay, I played the demo. It worked all of a sudden. And it's really good. It's basically, to distill it down to its essential, it's Call of Duty with superpowers, but that makes it really fun.
Right.
And, you know, like, in the original Crysis, when you play it on PC, you had to manually switch your suit to these different modes. So there's, like, you know, strength mode, which lets you run and jump further, and armor mode, and stealth mode, and all that. And, like, they just kind of streamlined all that. So, like, you know, you tap the left bumper, you get more armor. You tap the right bumper, you stealth. If you hold down the jump button, you jump really high. Click the stick to run, you know, all that good stuff.
Right.
Looks very pretty. Very pretty. The Crytek 3 looks really, really nice. I mean, it just plays really well. Like, I just really like it. It's very fun to be able to, like... Oh, actually, here's something really cool I was able to do. I saw that on the radar, someone on my team was fighting this guy behind this wall. And so I knew this guy was going to be shooting at my team, and I knew he'd be distracted. So what I was able to do was to super jump up to this wall, pull myself over, drop down the other side, and then melee bash this dude. He, like, from his perspective, it had to be crazy to see this guy come over this wall and just punch him. And it was just, like stuff like that is really cool that you could pull off in it. You know, it still has, like, you know, there's perks, there's kill streak rewards, but instead of just, like, killing three guys, you have to kill them and then go collect their dog tag. So, like, you can't just, like, snipe from somewhere and just start racking up kill streak rewards. You have to actually go and pick these things up.
Right.
So that kind of actually helps balance it really well. But yeah, it's a demo. It's on 360. It's coming to PC, so you should check that out.
Cool beans.
Yes. Your turn.
Well, I finally got Ghost Trick.
Ah, tell me of the Ghost
Trick. Ghost Trick is awesome.
Yes?
It's basically just a really clever adventure game.
Okay, I like those.
Right. I mean, you can tell it's by the Phoenix Wright guys, like the writing, the music, and you know, just kind of stuff like that. But, like, the in-game graphics remind me of, like, kind of like Another World, you know?
Ooh.
Like, it almost looks like that weird rotoscope sort of, like...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like it really fluid animation, stuff like that. And it's, like, it's all in the 2D plane, and you basically, you're a ghost, and you have to, like, move from object to object. You have, like, a limited range, so, like, you have to, like, maybe you have to possess, like, a car trunk. And, like, there's something you have to possess above it. So you have to, like, in each item you're on, you can do a trick to it. So you open the trunk, for instance, and then the trunk's higher, so now you can move to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the big kind of set pieces are when somebody dies in the game, you can possess their body, rewind time back to 4 minutes before they died, and basically you have to try to prevent their death.
Cool.
And, like, you know, you can kind of keep trying over and over again, stuff like that. And it's just, it's really neat. And it's just kind of fun, like, how, like, you're like, getting around is a lot of the puzzle most of the time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the way you move from scene to scene is you can move through telephone wires, so that's how you get to, like, different locations and stuff like that.
Huh.
It's really just this really creative adventure game. I totally dig it. I really think you would like it, too. I think you should get on that, to be honest.
All right, all right.
It's incredibly fun. You?
The Bulletstorm demo.
How was that? I gotta check that out.
It's really fun. I mean, it's completely ridiculous, completely over the top, completely insane, but, I mean, it knows it is, so, like, it's basically the modern version of Duke Nukem.
Nice.
With a little bit of, like, Burnout thrown in, I guess. Because, like, it's all about going for a high score. You know, kind of almost like Mad World, really, I guess. Or it's not just about going through and killing everybody, it's doing it creatively.
Mm-hmm.
So the big item you have in the game, like, is, like, this energy whip that you, like, grab someone with it, pull them towards you. And as they come towards you, they get stuck in, like, this slow-mo field. So mm-hmm. you can, like, you know, headshot them or something. Also, you could kick people, and they go away from you in slow-mo. And, you know, you could try to do things like kick them off ledges or kick them into, like, you know, electrical wiring that's hanging from the ceiling or spikes or something like that. But if you hold down the whip button, you get, like, a limited use of this. You basically just create this giant shockwave that sends everybody around that guy just flying into the air in slow-mo. So you could do stuff with that. You have the one gun. It's actually really cool. It's like, what do they call it? Remember in piratical times, they had like, it was like
piratical
two cannonballs.
Piratical times? Is that what you
yes.
said?
Yes. They had, it was like two small cannonballs chained together.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. Okay. Imagine that, but the cannonballs are grenades and you shoot them.
Nice.
And the grenades have spikes on them.
Of course.
So, you know, you could like try to lock that on one guy while he's in the middle of a group and it'll take him out. And then all the guns have, like, a secondary fire that you charge up. So with that one, just it just rips through them. So, like, there's one part at the end of the demo where it's very clearly, like, six guys all in a line come running at you. You just do that, and it just cuts them all down. Like, literally saws them in half. It's pretty funny.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's really fun. It looks great. You know, the Unreal Engine 3 stuff looks really fantastic, and it's a good time.
I just realized, has there ever been a more satisfying first-person shooter kill than those zombie things in Half-Life 2 with, like, the massive saws.
Yeah, yes. Like how just Ravenholm was just chock full of buzz saws.
Right, just all these buzz saws, and you just threw them at them, and they'd, like, the buzz saw would stick to the wall, and they would just be cut in half wherever you shot them at.
Yeah.
That was always nice. Anywho, very nice. I think I'm done. I mean, besides all the war.
I have one more.
All right, well, let's hear it then.
I've finally started playing Limbo.
Oh, good. That's right, you're kind of late to that party.
I know, I am. Here's the thing. I played Bulletstorm, where I'm cutting dudes in half and telling them to fuck their mothers and all kind of stuff. And I don't even bat an eye. And that first time I died in Limbo, where I was cut in half by a bear trap,
yes.
I just sat there, I was like, oh. Like, out loud, I just went, oh. Oh,
kind
my.
Of, yeah, no one really talks about how violent Limbo is.
It's terribly violent, like, disturbingly violent, because it's this kid, and all these other kids are trying to kill you. I'm like, yes. What is going on? This spider wants to eat me. It hates me. It's chasing me vicariously. Like, what's going on? That's the wrong word. Anyway, yeah, I mean, it's really good, but it's a little bit disturbing. Like, I feel like if more people knew about this, it'd be on Fox News.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, God, that game looks pretty. And here's why. I mean, it's doing the very typical parallax scrolling stuff that we've had forever, but it's also using camera focus. So all that stuff in the foreground and background's out of focus, and it just makes everything look really good.
Right.
Like, really good. I really like that game. It's fantastic so far. I think I'm about halfway through it.
Yeah, welcome to 6 months ago.
I know, it's nice.
All right, then. We ready for the releases, then?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Dead Space 2 came out. PC, PS3, 360. That was the big one.
Yes.
So Two Worlds 2 came out. PS3, 360. Is this better than the other one?
I don't know. It's twice as good, I think. At least.
I wonder if we got it.
I just like the little description at GameSpot. Two Worlds 2 is an RPG that builds upon the original game.
Thank you, GameSpot.
You don't say.
But maybe it was the guy who wrote that Dead Space 2 reveal on IGN. I'll give it a 2, one for each world.
There you go.
Breach for Magica. 360.
Don't skip Magica, because I knew you're going to.
Okay, what's Magica?
It came out on Steam. It's supposed to be really good, actually. I'm going to try to check out the demo this week. It's kind of like an action RPG with co-op. That apparently has a really fantastic sense of humor as well. It's very popular. Down like 30,000 copies in the first day.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Breach, 360, PC. Looks like another bad first-person shooter. Dead Space Extractions on PSN.
Mm-hmm.
Lord of Arcana for the PSP. I actually reviewed that for EGM, so look for that.
Yep. All right.
Venetica for PC. Monday Night Combat. PC version, I suppose.
Yeah, it actually is really sweet. If you get it, you get a bunch of Team Fortress 2 items for your Monday Night Combat characters, Monday Night Combat items for your Team Fortress 2 characters, and the PC version has the Fruit Fucker in it, in addition to the mascot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gives you the, you know, that there's like juice in the game you can use to get power. He starts dispensing juice.
Well, that's fine.
Yes.
So the iPhone and iPad version of Dead Space came out. That's supposed to be pretty sweet, actually.
Yeah, I was watching a video of it. I mean, it looks like Dead Space.
And that's about it, unless you want me to talk about Beer Pong.
Is that an Xbox indie game? So
yeah.
Is it a Kinect game?
I don't know.
If only.
I don't know. All right, I guess that does it.
Okay.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody, to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com and on the iTunes Music Store and the Zoom Marketplace. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. Thanks for listening, everybody. Say goodbye, AJ.
Goodbye, AJ.
See you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye-bye.